You are listening to the Ultimate Intimacy Podcast, where we discuss how to find ultimate intimacy in your relationship. We believe that no matter how many years you've been married, you can achieve passion, romance, happiness, and ultimate intimacy at any stage of your life. Join us as we talk to not only marriage experts, but couples just like yourself and people who are just flat out fun. The Ultimate Intimacy Podcast is for couples who have a good relationship but want to make it even better.
Hi, and welcome to episode 140 of the Ultimate Intimacy Podcast with Nick and Amy, and she's sitting over here laughing at me.
You're so funny.
I'm not funny.
It's so funny.
Today's episode is a good one. We have not covered this subject yet, and I think it's such an important one, and I think a lot of us do this maybe unintentionally.
I think everybody is guilty of this in one way or another.
So we're talking about the things that you say to your spouse and also yourself, how they can have severe consequences. And I would probably even throw in maybe like verbal abuse.
Because it gets to that point, yep.
Because sometimes the things that we say can be verbally abusive and they can have significant consequences. And a lot of times we may not even recognize what we're saying. And a lot of times we do recognize what we're saying, and we do that because we're trying to prove a point, we're trying to make them feel bad, or, you know, whatever the reasons. And that's obviously not healthy. It's not something we should be doing. So,
for sure.
Again, these will kind of be some of the signs of maybe verbal abuse. And as we go through these things, you know, really be honest with yourself about, are these things that I do in my relationship, do I do them intentionally or unintentionally? And how can I be better about the words that I'm using when talking to my spouse, or the things that I'm saying, or even the things that you're not saying, the maybe physical responses, I guess, or the body language.
And before you like get stuck on the word abuse and be like, well, we don't have any abuse in our marriage, and then turn it off, I think we're also going to be talking about just before it turns into abuse, right? Like there's things that I have said in the past in our marriage that I would never say, oh, it was abusive, but it probably was a little toxic, or it was very unkind.
See, and
I just feel like even if it just hurts them a little bit,
it's abusive.
It can be abusive.
I think that I've definitely said things that are abusive. I think the word abusive is a really, a word that you just don't want to be associated with.
For sure.
But the bottom line, I think, is there's so many different levels of abuse. You could have on a scale of 1 to 10, you could have things that are a 1%,
but
still abusive, mm-hmm. I guess, right?
Yeah.
And so, again, just be mindful as we're going through these and see what you think. See if it's something maybe you can do better on when talking to your spouse. So number one is name calling. Now, this is obviously a type of abuse, I guess, that's really easy to recognize. I mean, if you're shouting at your spouse and calling them names, saying, you idiot, you're so stupid, what?
Even just calling your spouse dumb, or using the word fat or lazy. I mean, you know what I mean? Like, even just lazy or...
The names that you associate with your spouse, can, if it's a negative name, if it's idiot, if it's smart one, if it's...
I'm totally joking.
I had to throw that in there to get a reaction from Amy, because she's always like, when I say something that's stupid, she's like, good one, smart one. And I love it. I think it's great.
I'm going to quit saying
I'm totally joking.
It's my sarcastic way to make him smile when I'm kind of making fun of
something. That was a good one, smart one. I'm like, oh, thank you.
You're such a smart one.
That's right.
Hey, if he doesn't laugh, I'm going to cut it out, okay?
No.
But if he laughs about it, then I know it's still a joke.
That's right. And we can communicate about it, and if it really hurt my feelings, I would let
you
it
would
know.
Tell me, right?
Absolutely. I had to just joke around with that. I knew that'd get a reaction. So.
You definitely get my reaction. I was like, wait, I totally say that all the time.
Yep. So I think we all know what name calling is, or associating a name that's negative with our spouse. Like Amy said, whether it's stupid or idiot or, you know, whatever. So you got a big smile on your face.
I'm still laughing. I'm sorry. I got to get more serious. You're so stupid. Pretty much that's what I'm saying when you're like, you're a smart one.
But you're saying it in such a nice way. No, we'll get into that. I think that's sarcasm. No.
Sarcasm can be, yeah, we'll get into that. If your spouse doesn't laugh, like genuinely laugh, that's probably a sign.
Yeah, for sure. The next one is a condescension. This is light sarcasm or a sarcastic tone of voice. You know,
shoot, I'm guilty of this one.
I think we all are guilty of this. And I guess the point I'm trying to make is there's probably some points where it's not toxic or it's not abusive. And I think that's talking with your spouse and understanding that. Just like I brought
it's
up with Amy.
Also
like,
your tone of voice.
Yeah, just like I said with Amy, like, I don't get offended by smart one. I mean, I don't. It's funny. But some people might get offended. So I think it also depends on the individual, right? If you have that communication, and you're like, that really hurt my feelings.
And personality.
Exactly.
And yes.
So anyways, as we read through these, just understand there's kind of a sliding scale. And it's probably going to be different for everyone as to what is maybe acceptable and what's not.
Can't
so
better.
So condescension, again, this can be something like, no wonder you're always complaining about your weight. Look at how much food you just ate. Or,
oh, I'm guilty of that.
You are?
Yeah.
What have you said? Give an example.
I don't know. Nicholas running every single morning. He runs like 3 miles and he's like,
and I'm still not skinny.
And it's like, I'm so proud of him for that. But sometimes I joke and I'm like, well, for the amount of hamburgers that you eat, you might want to keep that up.
Yeah, but that's spitting facts. That's true. It is, and I know it. I'm like, I run so that I can eat a hamburger or two a week. I'm like, yeah, that's what I love doing. I love
a
burger.
Boy, you do.
Yeah, so I know you're speaking truth.
No, we're just, yeah. Nick was the one that came up with this topic, so
I'm
just
did.
Making sure he's not like, this is like his subtle way of being like,
I did.
Watch
yeah.
Your words, babe.
Yeah, as I'm looking at Amy... the whole podcast. No, that's not true. I had nothing to do with it. My point is we all joke around. We all say things funny or sarcastically. Like, that is normal. What we're talking about is if it's something that truly hurts your spouse.
Absolutely.
And you talk about it. Then it's time to get serious. But you can see that Amy and I are laughing. And yeah, we are sarcastic with each other. We do joke around. We do say things to each other. But... as you can see, you know, we're both laughing about it, and it's not something
that's because I tell you you're hot, so whatever I joke about, you know,
hey,
you know, I think you're hot.
She's making love with me several times a week so I know that my jogging is working and my
you
hamburgers.
Jog for you, not for me. Okay, moving on. Oh, or not moving on.
Moving on. Number three, manipulation.
Not okay.
And sometimes this can be easy to spot, and sometimes it can be very difficult to spot.
Yep.
It can be very subtle.
Yep.
So, an example of this is...
yeah, give us an example.
If you're... Let's say you're talking to your spouse, and you're like, well, if you really cared about me, you wouldn't do that. Or, if you really cared about me, you wouldn't say that. It's kind of... I mean, that's just me, obviously.
Depending on what you're saying, yeah. Yeah. You can use certain tactics in your marriage to manipulate. You can use your actions to manipulate. You can withhold to manipulate. That's all can be forms of mild or bad abuse.
And I would say manipulation is probably one of the things that couples do most.
So the okay, so a lot of husbands complain that sex is used as like withholding, manipulation, all those kind of things, right?
Yep.
Like that's kind of a touchy subject for a lot of people in their marriage.
If you would do this, maybe we'd have sex more often.
Well, yeah, why don't you help around the house and then use that? I mean, yeah, we've talked about this. There's such a, yeah, sliding scale, I guess is the right way to say it. But be careful is all we're saying. Be careful with the words that you use so they're not manipulating. I think we all know what manipulation is, right?
Yeah, for sure. For sure. The next one is demeaning comments. This is if your spouse is putting you down. It could be, it could be something like, you know, saying to your spouse that you overreact all the time, or, you know, just saying things that are putting them down or making them feel belittled, or, you know, something's always their fault.
I think a good example of this would be when a husband walks in. Okay, say his wife is a stay-at-home mom. And he walks in the house and he's like, what the crap do you do all day?
Look at this house.
Like, literally, what did you do all day?
Did you do anything?
Do you do anything, or you just sit and watch TV all day and eat chocolate? Like,
and we hear a lot of couples say that.
And, I mean, this can go lots of different ways. But that's a good example of demeaning comments. Instead of coming in with kind words and say,
why isn't my dinner ready? What have you been doing all day?
But coming in and saying, how can I help you? You know, did you have a good day with the kids? Did you have a bad day? How was your day? Instead of just judging the situation really quick.
I don't know.
I think we just need to be careful. And we're all human. But I think we need to be more careful about reacting quickly in a human tense without thinking about what's going to come out of our mouth. Sometimes if you just think about it for 60 seconds before you say it, you might not say it.
Well, and sometimes we say demeaning things without understanding really what's behind the scenes. Like Amy said, you come home, the house is a disaster, and you immediately say, what the hell have you been doing all day?
Right.
Right?
Right.
Without knowing that they may have just taken the child to the hospital because they needed stitches, because they fell on the playground. I'm just making a point. Like,
maybe the child was sick and puking in the bathroom and they've just been holding them all day and being an amazing mom. Or maybe they were amazing mom and took them on a field trip that day and didn't get around to the housework, because amazing moms do those kind of things, right?
And once you say something demeaning, you really can't take it back.
Like, no.
That's the power of our words. If you listen to the podcast we did with Alex Boyer, he talked about how in some villages, if you say negative things, they'll actually kick you out of the village because they're afraid that it's going to spread. So when you're saying demeaning things, you know, putting your spouse down, and these could be also putting yourself down, like, oh man, I'm such an idiot. I always do this. Why am I so stupid? Like, doing that to ourselves or to our spouse, can really have a negative impact.
If you didn't listen to that podcast, I'm going to repeat this really quick. He says our words, they cast spells. That's why it's called spelling. Spelling. They cast spells. Because they truly believe in this village that the words that you say either can destroy someone or bring them up. They're literally like casting a small spell with the words you use. And I loved thinking about that because I was like, the way we speak to our spouse sets the entire tone of your marriage. I say it all the time.
Yeah. And we know someone that's been in a very, very abusive, verbally abusive relationship. And I can tell you, this person is... their life is changed. They will never be the same.
Their personality
has changed because of this verbal abuse that's happened over a period of time. And so firsthand, we've just seen the negative effects that what you say to someone and how you say it can literally shape everything in their life. It's just crazy.
Yeah.
It's crazy. Very sad. So...
pay attention to what you say before it comes out
of your mouth. Be very careful about what you say. Number six is threats. And I think this is used all the time. It's a really easy one to recognize. But they can also come across as appearing as if they aren't so bad. That sometimes it even makes you question if you really heard things right. But
Never okay to threaten.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. That. I mean, but a threat could be, well, a threat could be from a wife, like, oh, if you don't do this for me, no sex for a month. Or...
That's pretty cold.
I mean, you know...
That's going to wreck a man.
Yeah, but I mean, it could go both ways. It could go for a husband saying to a wife, if you don't do this for me, then no shopping allowance. Or,
yeah.
You know,
yeah,
I mean,
sure.
It could be a million different things to basically... demand something to provide or give something in return. I mean, no loving couples should be using threats at all to get what they want.
Totally
and
agree.
And if those are happening in your relationship, you're probably not going to have a healthy relationship.
And if somebody does threaten, like it's constant in your marriage, it's definitely time to go to a marriage counselor.
For sure.
That's not okay.
For sure. So, yeah, threats are unacceptable. They should be unacceptable. Any kind of threat should be unacceptable.
Any negative threat.
Period. Yeah. Number 7 is blame.
Ooh, everybody's guilty of blame.
Oh, geez.
We all blame. We all once in a while or have pointed fingers.
And even if...
I've done it. You've done it. We've all done it.
Yeah, so... It's so easy that instead of taking responsibility for our own actions, especially when we fail, it's so easy to point the finger and say, you know, this happened because of so-and-so. And it's easy to do. I mean, I've done it. I do it. Mm-hmm. We all do, right?
Yep.
We always blame others for, you know, mistakes that were made, but especially not your spouse. We shouldn't be blaming our spouse. A good example of this would be if you said, you know, you are the reason why we're never on time for anything. What are you laughing about that?
Oh, that's funny.
What?
Nothing.
No, you got to say it. People are wondering what you're thinking.
Oh, that would be me. I don't like to be early like Nick, so.
But have I ever said that?
Maybe once.
I might think that, but have I ever said
I'm
that?
I'm sure you think it all the time.
but I've never outwardly. No,
never. You've never said it in a mean way.
So is it? So this raises a good question. Is it okay to blame your spouse in your head if they don't know? That's not.
That's probably
negative.
Okay.
Yeah, okay, that's okay.
Keep it in. There's certain.
That's so funny.
Okay, this is where it gets tricky because it's like there's certain things in marriage that, yeah, you should be vulnerable about. And then there's certain things you're like, just keep your mouth shut.
Zip it.
Zip it. Like, I'm super bugged that Nick always has to be super early. And I just have learned to keep my mouth shut. It's better for the relationship.
You can't tell, can you? They can't tell that bugs you over the
No, I'm
wavelengths.
Trying to laugh it off. I'm trying to laugh it off. No, I would be the one to be blamed if we were late for something because I hate being early. So... It's okay. I'll take the blame. But no, Nick, okay, to go along with actually what we're talking about, Nick has never looked at me and be like, you're the reason we're late. You're the reason this happens. Or you're the reason that we don't have this. Or blah, blah, blah. I would be the guilty one in this in our marriage. I have definitely pointed my finger and said, we're in this situation. I actually did it like a week ago. I totally hurt his feelings. I totally caused an argument. It was... Like, I can honestly say I totally did that. Like, our marriage is definitely not perfect. We have past issues, and once in a while, I slip. I'm human. Yes, we are all guilty of doing the blaming. And I realize that.
That's why we're going over this list, is because
everyone
almost
makes
all
mistakes.
Of us are guilty with these things. And what we're saying is try to limit these or try to remove these.
Try to be a little bit better.
Because we all do
I'm doing way better, right? When we were going through really hard times, I was so easy to put the blame on Nick. It was so easy for me to do, and I did it often. But that didn't help our marriage.
And even though it was my fault...
It didn't help the marriage.
My intentions were good intentions, and I wasn't trying to do these things. I didn't try to put us in this situation.
You can listen to our story back in the other podcast. But yes, Nick made some mistakes. He knows it. He's sorry.
But hey, I'm manning up. I totally admit I made mistakes, and I I'm manning up, and I can live with that.
And I have to, I guess, call it woman up and admit that I pointed a lot of fingers and did a lot of blame. And this is what's so great about marriage, is that you can say sorry and forgive each other. And the better you get at that, the stronger your foundation becomes, what we just talked about in the last episode. So try not to blame. Try not to put everything on your spouse. All marriages take two. That's what's really important to remember under blame, is that marriage takes two. Right?
Yeah.
It takes two. So pointing fingers is never going to help.
For sure. All right. The next one is accusations.
Accusations.
This one drives me crazy because we do videos. And like, we did a video on porn, and I have people, you know,
anti-porn.
Yeah, anti-porn. And we do a video saying we don't watch porn and this and that.
And we haven't, and we never will. And people
I've seen like 3 seconds once on accident because I didn't know what I was looking at.
In college.
They put on a video, and I'm like, after 3 seconds, I realized what they'd put on. Anyways.
That helped you make a really fast 3-second decision that would never be a part of your life.
Absolutely.
Just like it did for me.
But we do videos and we say, yeah, we don't watch porn in our relationship and this and that. And I get people saying, oh, look at his eyes. You can tell that he watches porn. And I'm just like,
dude, you don't know me.
They don't know me. Like, who are they to accuse me? And it drives me crazy. Like, I get pissed because I'm like, dude, these people don't know me. Like, how can you accuse me of something and you don't know anything about me by saying I blinked my eyes or I smiled or, you know, whatever.
Yeah.
So I
don't read Nick the comments because he doesn't want to hear them.
Yeah, but so my point is accusations, you know, it could be something like, you're late for dinner. Is there another woman or something? You know, throwing out something like that. Or, I saw the way you were looking at him. You must not love me. You know, just accusing. Making it, our accusations are almost always assumptions too, which means we're assuming something. And when we assume something, most of the time we're not even going to be right. So accusing someone of something, unless you like really know,
which means talking to them.
But a lot of couples do this to try to, you know, I guess, I don't know. A lot of couples do this to try to be in a controlling situation, I think, or get a reaction from their spouse. And I think accusations are a pretty bad thing.
I agree. I don't even know if I can add to that. That's pretty good. I mean, it's pretty bad.
All right. I like this one. The next one is withholding.
Shoot, I kind of like jumped into that earlier.
Oh, that's okay. No, that's good.
Withholding can definitely be a form of abuse. We get so many men saying, if I don't do this, or if I don't do this right, or if I mess up on this, or I don't do the dishes perfect, or if I don't help this night, my wife withholds sex for a week. And that's awful.
Yeah.
That's abusive. That's not even okay to withhold anything because you don't get what you want.
Yeah.
Or they don't do something the way you want it done, or
withholding could be also like, you know, refusing to answer your spouse's calls, or, you know, maybe you got in an argument. And I've done that, I'm guilty
of that.
But, you know, obviously, you know, or your spouse is completely ignoring you because maybe you got in an argument. Like,
oh, I've done that too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But there's a.
It's not okay.
Right? It's not a healthy thing to do. It's not okay to withhold things from your spouse to punish them. I think that's horrible to do.
If you want a good marriage, you got to just talk about issues. You can't just like run away and hide from them and be like, I need space. We're not talking for a couple days. That's never going to help your marriage. If you're listening, you probably want a good marriage, right? Like, we've done those things in our marriage. It did not work. That did not bring us closer together. That drove us further apart.
You're right.
We have learned withholding or doing any of these things negatively affect your marriage. So don't do that. You want a positive marriage. That means coming together, talking about it, not withholding, not ignoring, no silent treatment, not accusing, talking about it. Talking.
Yeah. So I'm gonna publicly say in front of everyone that I will not withhold sex from you anymore. So I apologize if I have at any point.
That is the funniest thing I've ever heard. Oh my gosh. You heard it. Nick's never going to do it.
I bow in front of everyone. Will. I never will withhold from you anymore.
Anymore or never have?
Never will withhold any sexual intimacy from you anymore.
He's never done it.
Never done. Oh, I haven't? Good. No. Well, then I'm doing good on that. So
that kind of that's kind of challenging me now. I don't think you want to challenge me like that.
I don't know.
I'm just kidding. I'm not going to start something just to try and break that.
All right. The next one is gaslighting. This is, you know, when you discount your spouse's emotions and you make them wonder if their feelings are having are meaningless or even wrong. This obviously is a common form of abuse and, you know, can be another form, I guess, of manipulation as well. But an example of this one could be, you know, telling your spouse, why are you always so emotional and sensitive about everything? Because immediately what that does is it completely dismisses their feelings and makes them wonder, man, am I really
emotional? I guess I shouldn't share anymore.
Yeah, am I really this emotional? Am I really sensitive? And again, that completely ignores or makes them feel like their feelings are not valid or that they can't express their feelings. I mean, you say something like that to your spouse, you think they're ever going to want to express their feelings again? No, they're going to hold things in and things are going to get worse.
Absolutely. So, well, a lot of men comment and say it's not manly to open up and release your fears and burdens on your wife and to be sensitive. Like, a lot of men's like, you can't do that. Women aren't attracted to that. That's bull crap. Like, you you have to be able to open up in a relationship, both male and female, to have a good marriage. You have to be able to talk to each other and be able to share with each other.
Yeah. Yeah, so be careful about, you know, what you're saying to your spouse, how you're saying it. Not trying to dismiss their feelings or how they feel, because their emotions and their feelings are very valid. Just because they're different from yours,
absolutely,
doesn't mean they're not valid.
So, absolutely.
Circular arguments.
Ooh.
If your spouse constantly disagrees with you and starts an argument wherever they see the opportunity, or if a conversation and argument seem to go round in circles, these are signs of also unhealthy relationship.
There are certain personalities that love to argue.
Yeah. And it just keeps circling back around and back around. You know, this makes people feel like they're really walking on eggshells. And again, kind of getting back to it, we don't need to agree on everything in a relationship, but we do need to respect each other and accept that we are going to have disagreements. We are going to look at things a little bit differently.
Absolutely.
Got nothing to say about that?
Well, I just think there's usually somebody in the relationship, like one spouse, that doesn't mind arguing.
Yeah, for sure.
That's me. I actually used to like to argue with you.
You did?
Yeah.
It was like a debate?
Not really.
What did you like
arguing
about?
You don't really debate because you're a peacemaker. Like, Nick's the passive one and does not like to have any sort of, like...
I don't like
You do not like
confrontation and contention. I don't.
At all. Like, at all.
Yeah, that's true.
But I've just learned that he's not going to argue. Sometimes it can be fun. But I think... it's not fun in relationships.
Now that I know that.
I'm just joking. I think on a serious note that there are people in the relationship that love to argue and it's super unhealthy. Like I was in a relationship in high school where the whole relationship was just like feeding off of arguing. Well, I don't want to eat there. I don't like that kind of food. Well, why don't you like that kind of food? Like, there are some couples that argue about everything. And I think it's a lack of respect. I think it all stems from a lack of respect. So when you really figure out how to like respect your spouse's minds and wants and needs and desires and all those things, and like we already said, you realize that you're different and you respect that, the arguing stops. And that's where we don't argue anymore in our marriage ever, because hardly ever.
Yeah, hardly ever. I mean, we have disagreements here and there, but our arguing, I guess our arguing doesn't go back and forth and back and forth and get bigger and bigger and bigger and explode. Our arguing is like,
how do we
a
fix
disagreement
this?
Really quick, and then like,
how do we fix it?
Yeah, let's move on from this. Right?
How do we fix it?
Yeah, I mean, it's not. Again, I think everyone has different personalities, and at least for me and my relationship, like, I don't really care if I'm right or wrong, right? Like, at the end of the day, does it make any difference at all? No. Is my opinion or something going to change her mind? Now, we may have good conversations if we're trying to convince each other of something, but it's not arguments to where we're always just having to be right, and it's more important to be right than our relationship. Like, a lot of people have. Like, it's amazing what some people will fight or argue over just to be right.
And I think I love that. I think my main tip for this entire podcast would be to try to change your arguments, quote arguments, to conversations. I now look at, like, we grew in this area. We went from fighting about something to arguing, and now we've gone from arguing to conversation. And it's all about how you do it and how you approach it and how you respect during it and how you talk during it, right?
Mm-hmm.
Because you can actually have an argument in your marriage that is more like a conversation because it's done mature and respectful and kind. And I think that's the goal for everyone, is to, when you have disagreements, have more respect and turn it into a conversation. Fight in conversation. Like, do it as a conversation. Well, I feel like this. Well, I feel like this. Well, why do you think that you feel different than me? I mean, there's conversations to be had with arguments that can keep it peaceful and kind and loving.
Yeah.
And I think that's the goal. I mean, they say conflict resolution is one of the top things to help couples have an amazing relationship, right?
Yeah, for sure.
Is learning how to do that. And I feel like you can truly have ultimate intimacy when you get to that point where there's no fighting, there's no yelling, there's no any kind of verbal abuse. You take your differences, you take your disagreements, and you turn them into conversations.
Love it. And kind of my closing thoughts is we've talked, this whole podcast has pretty much been on, you know, obviously not to be verbally abusive to your spouse and things like that. But I also think it's very important not to do these things to yourself.
True.
Saying these things or having these toxic behaviors or abusive behaviors to yourself is also a very negative thing. So, for example, obviously you can name call yourself, right? You idiot, I'm so stupid, things like that, right? You can be condescending to yourself. You can criticize yourself. You can say demeaning comments to yourself. You can blame yourself. So, you know, there's just a lot of these same things apply to when talking to yourself at all. Don't abuse yourself. Don't put yourself down. Those words that you, or those things that you say to yourself are going to also have an impact on how you feel about yourself and what type of person you become and the happiness that you have long-term for yourself or your self-love as well. Not to jump into another subject, but we've talked about self-love before. And it's interesting to look at the people that really struggle with self-love are the kind of people that are putting themselves down and demeaning themselves and calling themselves names and doing these things. And look at the negative impact that it has on them. If you have someone that has a low self-esteem, little to no self-love, the chances are they're probably verbally abusing themselves or mentally abusing themselves in a lot of these ways that we've talked about as well. So not only apply these in your marriage, but be mindful of what you're saying to yourself as well.
I feel like you just started something because I have a lot to say on that.
Oh, let's keep going.
I'm going to keep it short though. I was told when I was younger that you can't love someone else unless you love yourself first. And I actually saw a quote on this the other day. But I truly believe that we teach people how to respect us and how to treat us. And that starts with respecting and how you treat yourself. I love that you brought that up because I see the people that are in toxic, awful relationships are the ones that have really low self-esteem because they put up with it from themselves and then they put up with it from other people. The people that have high self-love and give themselves the time and the compassion to themselves are usually won't put up with crap from other people.
Correct.
And so if you do feel like a lot of these things are maybe happening in your marriage, maybe step back and think, how do I treat myself? How do I talk to myself? Just like Nick said, and really work on yourself and how you feel about yourself, because you will become a little more demanding about how others treat you. It goes hand in hand.
Yeah. And I think there was a point in our marriage as well where I probably struggled a little bit from this, where I was putting myself down and, you know, because of frustrations of things not happening. And just like Amy hit on, I think maybe to a point allowed myself to be put up with things that normally I wouldn't. And now,
from other people.
And now I don't put up with crap. Like, I may have a personality to where I don't like confrontation. I don't like arguments and stuff, but I feel like I'm a lot stronger now to where I'm not going to allow those toxic things in my life. I'm not going to allow people to impact, you know, who I am and things mm-hmm. like that. And so just, again, hitting on these things, be very careful about how you're talking to yourself. And if you look at happy couples in general, people that have good relationships, there's not going to be a spouse that is depressed and constantly putting themselves down. And just like Amy said, you can't show love to your spouse if you don't love yourself. I mean, it's very difficult to do. So
it really is.
I think this kind of goes both ways. So hopefully this was a podcast that provided some good, valuable information and makes you think a little bit harder as to things that you can do to maybe better your relationship and also better yourself and your self-confidence and your self-love.
And if you're struggling with these, maybe listen to it together and then have conversations about it. Like we always say, conversation is huge. So if any of this aspect is struggling, like not to bring back the humor, but if Nick ever got offended because I said smart one or something, I would hope that he would come to me and be like, you know, that really actually is starting to hurt my feelings. Or I really don't like that. Do you think that maybe we could talk about this? Those are the things that make marriage better, is talking about it. So if one of these things is happening in your marriage, don't be afraid to sit down as a couple and discuss each one of these. Like, how do we do better with this? Or maybe the conversation begins with, let's rate each of these areas. Do you feel like we're in one? Do you feel like we're a 10? Okay, why do we feel like you're a 2 and you're a 7 and I'm a 7? How do we make it both so that we feel like we're a 10 in this area?
Mm-hmm.
And just really work on each thing. And that takes conversation.
Yeah, for sure. So we have an emotional intimacy workbook that we're just about done with that we'll be releasing in our shop. Many of you have seen our sexual intimacy workbook. Our emotional intimacy workbook is going to be just phenomenal. It covers a lot of these subjects and these types of things. So stay tuned. Check out our shop. It's coming out soon. shop.ultimateintimacy.com. Keep an eye out for that. And
shop's already out.
Yeah, our shop's already out, but we'll be adding new stuff to the shop. So, we hope that the podcasts are really helping your marriage and relationships. Please send us an email. Let us know what you think, any topics you want us to talk about in future episodes. We do get people, talking about that and sharing that with us, which helps us to, you know, put out episodes that we know you want to listen to as well.
You can follow us on Instagram at Ultimate Intimacy App. If you want to be part of polls, conversations, marriage tips, we'd love you to join us over there.
And we get so many people who are listening to the podcast right now. It's almost quite humbling and just amazing. Please feel free to leave us a review if you feel comfortable doing so. We really appreciate that as well. That will help us continue to put out podcasts, you know, for a long, long time.
Yep.
So until next time, we hope you all find ultimate intimacy in your relationship.